Welcome back, friends. Welcome back to Solutions Watch. I'm your host, James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, coming to you from the sunny climes of Western Japan. Actually, a bit rainy today. In March of 2024, with another edition of Solutions Watch, that regular weekly program, where week after week, we are looking at ways that you can change your life and change the world for the better. This week, I want to start with an observation that, stop me if you've heard it before, but a picture is worth a thousand words. We all know that, right? Yeah, of course. Yeah. But sometimes the real truth, the real wisdom of that statement hits you afresh, as it did to me recently. And this is in the context of an interesting offhand email exchange I had recently with my good friend, guitar teacher, Vinny Caggiano, vincognito.com. Please check him out and get guitar lessons with him if you want. But he had a, as he confessed in his email, he had a boomer moment where he emailed me a meme recently, which is not something he generally does. But anyway, he felt compelled to share this with me. And I was all set to go, oh, okay, boomer, and just go on with my day. But actually, this particular meme really hit me in an interesting way. And it's a pretty simple meme. It's the Jedi mind trick, Obi-Wan doing the Jedi mind trick thing. You will eat bugs to change the weather. And then it's the NPC crowd all saying, we will eat bugs to change the weather. Right? A simple, simple little meme. And especially for someone like myself who, you know, I'm not the average guy who fell off the turnip truck yesterday. I've been doing this work for a couple of decades now. I know all about the agenda. I know I can talk for hours and hours and hours about every part of it, including the climate change cult and all of that. But for some reason, this meme really stuck with me. And I really thought about it because it's almost like I know too much about all of this, and I have so many, a million different facts, and I can, when I see a report, I can dissect it and go into all of the details of why it's wrong. But this was such a great way of condensing all of that down into the utter, complete stupidity of what we are being asked to literally swallow at this point, as in, you will eat the bugs. Yes, you will eat bugs to change the weather is literally what they are asking you to believe. And if you had said that in that context to anybody, even a few years ago, they would have thought you were absolutely bark-raving lunatic. And now they literally are telling you this and saying, if you don't believe it, then you're some kind of bark-raving mad lunatic. What? What has happened? And it really took a meme like this to simplify it down to that level where they are literally saying you will eat bugs to change the weather. Yeah, that's not even a joke, really. They literally are saying this. And I've certainly, as I'm sure you have, seen the propaganda nonstop over the past several years about this. And hey, here's one solution for climate change, eating bugs. Hey guys, eat bugs. It's the environmentally friendly way to live. And so anyway, that thousand words was condensed down into this simple meme. And it was really effective, even on someone who already knows this. So it's not like you're teaching me anything, but it was just a good way of crystallizing and simplifying that down. That is the art of mimetic warfare, my friends. And as effective as it can be at someone who's already on board and already knows about that, imagine how effective it can be to get someone who is potentially in danger of falling for this propaganda to stop from going in that direction, to stop and check themselves and think and recontextualize and see the stupidity in a way that they might not otherwise have. Now, maybe this particular meme doesn't resonate with you in the way that it did with me in that particular moment when I received it, but that's the wonderful nature of this age in which we're living, in which we're bombarded constantly with internet content. Well, at the very least, some of that content may stop and make you think and may stick out from all of the noise of everything else that's bombarding and assailing us. So, in case you hadn't guessed by the title of today's episode, if not from that rant, yes, we're going to talk about memetics, meme warfare, today, and its importance in, at the very least, decontextualizing or recontextualizing the propaganda that we're being assailed with and helping people to overcome their propaganda conditioning, or perhaps even to change the world. And you may scoff at that, but if you do, you might want to think to yourself, well, if memes were so who cares, whatever, it's just a little joke on the internet, it doesn't affect anything, then why are they trying so hard to crack down on them right now?
Bill Gates' partner Gavi Vaccine Alliance targets online memes. Grabbing this from reclaimthenet.org, an international group promoting vaccines with ties to Gates Foundation is going after memes. Bill Gates, of course, known and rich for two things. The founder of one of the most oppressive companies ever, Microsoft. And the other is Gates, the billionaire, reinventing himself, centered and emanating from the foundation and focusing on, by and large, vaccines and agriculture, which I believe, as we noted last week, should always be a little suspicious when your pharmaceutical chemical corporations are running and owning your food. Two great tastes that taste terrible together. Of those involved, the Gavi Vaccine Alliance that gets their money from Gates now wants to reframe memes. Memes, internet's succinct expression of humor and satire, as health disinformation super spreaders. They're using their own magic words. We've heard this one before, this genre that in the digital age might as well be considered as good as any other artistic formats in previous times, is said to be capable of evading fact checkers and comment content moderators, of course the censors. In previous eras in authoritarian states, they just ban or burn your book. So what's the solution in the current era, and what is the big picture? Is it just Bill Gates going after the free and open internet again, only by other different means? Here's what a blog post on Gavi's site says, quote, "Our research shows that memes form part of a highly sophisticated strategy to spread and monetize health disinformation."
Now, in case you are living under a rock or you happened to miss episode 546 of New World Next Week, that was Bill Gates is Coming for Your Memes, in which we covered, for example, the new Gavi post about how memes become health disinformation super spreaders. And yes, you can obviously follow the link in the show notes to go and read that post for yourself, which is actually kind of worth it if for nothing else than the dank 1892 anti-vax meme that they have in that article. Yeah, a political cartoon that was essentially the early form of memeing. Keep that in mind for later in today's show. But anyway, there you go. I think that's worth checking out. But then you could follow that cookie crumb trail back to the original source of the memes save lives. Stigma and the production of anti-vaccination memes during the COVID-19 pandemic, the study which Gavi was talking about, and blah, 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 and find out all of the different scientific work that's going on to justify censorship in the name of keeping people away from memes. And then you could even dive deeper into sort of the philosophical exploration of what memes are and how they propagate through society and what is the study of memetics and information, how information technology has transformed the forms of communication and all of that good stuff. But this is Solutions Watch, so let's not do that right now. If you're really interested, you could go back to episode 371 of the Corporate Report podcast on going viral. But let's not worry about that for now. Let's actually get into the work of, okay, so memes are something. They transmit ideas in ways that many, many people can catch very easily. So they are obviously effective in shaping political narratives, as the Gavi hand-wringers and the scientists, quote-unquote, who are studying this phenomenon, and Bill Gates and everyone else are worried about. So how do we use this? How do we use this to our advantage? Well, rather than me talking about this, why don't we actually talk to some people who are doing it? And I have a couple of people lined up today that should be interesting. I want to say you might not know their work, but you probably do. You just might not know it was them. First up today, I'm going to be talking to a veteran of the meme wars. And like many meme lords, again, you have probably seen his work, but you probably had no idea it was him because he has gone under many different names, many different accounts, many of which have been banned over the past several years, of course. And he's worked with many different outlets, but his work has been widely shared online, and he has made something upwards of 10,000 memes at this point. He lost track of counting several thousand memes ago, but many, 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 many thousands of memes that have been shared in the aggregate millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of times. And you might know him as Winston Montagu, as he is known on several sites, which is a play on a couple of literary characters. I'll let you put that together, what that reference is. You might know him as Prophetic Memetics. You might have seen his work with We Are Change and Free Thought Project and Mint Press News and many other outlets besides. But anyway, his real name in real life is Rick Fry. And I had the pleasure of catching a very interesting in-depth conversation on the Free Thought Project podcast several months ago now, in which they interviewed Rick about his work, specifically the art of information exchange and the science of meme warfare. And I would sincerely suggest, if anyone is interested in this topic, that they go and check out that interview. It's in-depth. It goes into the background and some of the inside baseball and what have you of the online media world. So very interesting stuff going on in that conversation. But I had the chance to talk to Rick recently, who is a Corbett Report listener and supporter. And I wanted to talk to him and pick his brain about the art of memeing and the effect that it can have in changing the political narrative, really, truly waking people up to a different reality, as he has had cause to see many, many times over the course of his very interesting career as a professional memer, which is apparently a thing that exists now. So I started by asking Rick about how he got into this in the first place.
I started out just as a normal activist around the same time you did, 2005, 2006, making flyers and handing out DVDs and that kind of thing. I started on social media doing that kind of thing, and back in the MySpace days, and then I went to Facebook, and you know how hard it is to get people to read an article or watch a documentary or anything like that. And one day I was sharing an important article, and nobody really paid attention to it, but they paid attention to this meme. I kind of got frustrated, and so I started making memes, making fun of memes, and making fun of the fact that people don't do research, you know. But what I discovered quickly was that it was actually really fun, and that the pictures were kind of talking to me in a way. Like, I knew exactly what I wanted them to say, and for the first time ever, like, I had control of my own content. Like, before, I would find what you made or what somebody else made, but all of a sudden, I could use my voice and say exactly what I wanted to say, exactly the way that I wanted to say it. And I knew I had found, you know, I'd found something that was important. Like, all of a sudden, it was, you know, it was going everywhere, and I'd see my memes everywhere, and I knew I had tapped into something. I didn't understand memetics. I didn't even understand what a meme was. And yeah, ironically, people realized that I was making all this viral content every day. And, I worked for a number of websites, but yeah, one day I kind of woke up and was like, wait, I'm a professional artist. Like I'm not an artist type of guy. Like it wasn't, at least I didn't think I was, you know, but, you know, I just followed what I saw was working, and you can't really make them watch anything, but you can plant a seed. And I'm completely convinced that this is the most important and best tool in the history of activism. Now, granted, we've only had the internet for a certain amount of that time, but there was never a time where somebody like me could reach millions and millions of people in just a moment's notice. I can post something and somebody in Sweden is sharing it. Like, that's just crazy reach. So yeah, that's kind of how it started.
All right, let's talk about that power. It is an art form as well as a skill, as I'm sure you know, and sometimes things catch on and sometimes they don't. What has surprised you about memes that take off or memes that don't? Or have you found the secret sauce? What have been your conclusions about this so far?
Well, I can tell you that, you know, I'm probably pushing close to 10,000 memes at this point. I lost count somewhere around 5,000 or 6,000, and that was years ago. Even when I think it's awesome, I don't really even know. I'm usually pretty right, but I never, sometimes I rush a meme and I'm just like, whatever, and it blows up and I'm like, oh man, I wish I would have spent a little more time on that one and prettied it up a little bit. But it's really what you're saying at the right moment, at the right time. I always remember this one meme I made. It was about when the confetti was falling, when Hillary Clinton had so-called won the nomination, but they had been stealing the votes from Bernie. And I'm no Bernie fan, but I knew there was primary fraud going on. And so this joke popped in my head, like, I bet that confetti is made of missing ballots. And so I made this joke about it being, and I posted it, and when I refreshed it, I had like 300 or 400 likes. And I was like, well, that can't be right, because I just posted it. And I refreshed it again, and it was like 600 or 700 likes, because I made the perfect joke at the perfect time when everybody was online. But if there was it's really about what you're saying, but if there was a secret sauce, I would say it's kind of take the pop culture, you know, TV show of the moment or whatever it is, and then take the corporate news, you know, distracting story, and then turn it into something about the Federal Reserve or Monsanto or something, you know, twist it on them like a good joke does.
I think the beauty of the memes that are spreading online is that the ones that take off tend to be the ones that take a seemingly complex subject and really crystallize it down to its core so you can get across that idea in a second. And as I say, that is a skill and an art form. Is there any memes? I mean, you've done thousands and thousands and thousands of memes, but are there any memes that you can think of where you were particularly proud of taking a complex subject and just getting it right down to the basic brass tacks?
Well, that is interesting because I'm just about finished with the book, and I was going to recommend that you talk to this guy, Dr. Michael Nels, I think is how you say his last name, and he wrote a book called The Indoctrinated Brain, and it's discussing the fact that they knew ahead of time that the particular spike protein in these shots would attack the hippocampus and cause a form of dementia, so that we're actually not just competing with fear-based mind control, but a literal attack on the hippocampus. Well, that's obviously, I don't even really understand hippocampal neurogenesis. That's complicated stuff. So I'm trying to read that, and I ended up making like a volleyball reference. So I just did that yesterday where I have like the blood-brain barrier and she's taking a spike protein to the face, and you know, and it is very complicated to do that. There are some memes that I've made that were like when the coronavirus stuff started, I took a screenshot of the PCR test literature that showed that too many cycles caused false positives. And then I took a screenshot of the cause of when they changed the cause of death recordings on March 24th. And then I showed in the meme, like, this is how the scam is pulled. And people say, well, a meme's not proof. But in that particular case, I was taking screenshots directly from the literature. So in that case, that meme actually was proof, you know? So I was proud of that one, I think.
So for people out there who maybe, like yourself, don't think of themselves or don't particularly rate their artistic ability, or they're not interested in memes, they may be the next meme lord, unbeknownst to them. Who knows, right? What would be your, if not words of encouragement, at least your invitation for people to step into this ring and find out if this is for them?
Absolutely. Well, I'm happy to, because it's really easy. I mean, if you can send a text message, you can make a meme. There's free meme apps. If you kind of say things in a clever way, you probably have a knack for it. And even if you're not really good at making memes, you can make a fake profile so you don't have to worry about offending your friends and family, and come steal my work and put it on other pages. They are so effective at starting conversations and getting people talking about these issues. And go spam your local newspaper page, go get in groups and be somebody else and start using those memes to spread the truth. But, you know, really, if you just download the app and give it a shot, you never know. But you know, whatever it is that you would say on Facebook normally, if you're going to say some quick little status, if you can figure out a way to put it on a meme, it'll be that much more effective every time.
Exactly right. What meme app do you use?
I just use Meme Generator.
Yeah. All right.
It was just the common one that I used when I first downloaded it.
All right. Speaking of your work and how people can see it for themselves, I know you've worked for a lot of different outlets over the years. Your work is all over the place. Is there any place that people can go that's a one-stop shop for your work, or how do they find it?
Well, until I get banned again, of course. But yeah, recently I restarted Prophetic Memetics page. It's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And then I'm under Winston Montag on Gitter. And I also have a Rumble page, and I was fortunate enough to have you share one of my videos, and to get the Corbett stamp of approval was a huge deal for me. I have, you know, a few Rumble videos. But yeah, if you look for Winston Montag or Prophetic Memetics, you can usually find it. And before we end our interview, can I just say that I love New World next week. My vote on your satire thing is you keep doing it. I like the fake news awards. James Evan Pilato cracks me up every week. You guys are funny. I love your humor, because you'll be reading exactly from the paper, and then you'll be like, oh, heaven forbid. And it just kind of catches me off guard. It's funny. You guys both have a good sense of humor. Thank you, Brock, for the awesome editing and everything you guys do.
Awesome. You know, the funniest thing is people think that was really a vote that I was having. As if, oh, 50% plus one of the audience said they don't want satire anymore. I better stop. Well, no. That's the real joke.
I'm sure your fans all know, like, where you're coming from. And anyone who watches you enough, they've learned to appreciate, you know, everything that you're about.
Could you imagine me not using humor? Anyway. Okay. That being said...
how would we get through this? I mean, that's, you know, what we research is so depressing and it's so dark. And if we didn't find ways to make light of it, and can I just say one more thing before we end this? I know, and I watch the Loosens watch a lot, and I like that people are building alternative systems. But there seems to be this kind of thing where, like, oh, we can't wake anybody up anymore. And that's just simply not true. And if you have the knowledge that we have, and that's great if you're building regenerative farm or whatever you're doing, but you should also plant seeds. You should, because my belief from the beginning has been the only way out of this is that we outnumber them. And the only way we can really stop them and have any solution that will work is if we teach enough people about this where they can't do what they're doing anymore. And so as far as I'm concerned, that's the number one solution, is to continue to wake people up. And you and I have both seen this. There was a time we talked about Epstein and we were nut jobs. And now it's just a common joke that everybody makes. Well, and during the Bush administration, when you talked about this stuff, you were absolutely crazy. Now you're a Nets truther. Like, they just use truther like it has nothing to do with it, because we've built this level of knowledge that continues to grow, and we have to keep doing that. To give up on that is to lose everything.
Once again, that was Rick Fry, a.k.a. Winston Montag, a.k.a. Prophetic Mimetics, a.k.a. He's been known by many different handles over the years, and as you can imagine, has had many accounts banned on many different platforms over the years. But for what it's worth, I will put the latest links to his latest platforms and latest accounts in the show notes. And so get them while they're available, until they're banned anyway. And he's on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and the places you might expect that normies might encounter memes, and other places as well, like Rumble. So again, all of those links will be in the show notes if you're interested in following more about Rick's work. And as I say, please do go and listen to that Free Thought Project podcast, where he goes into much greater detail about his work and how he came to do it and why he does it, etc., etc. But let's keep this train rolling, because we're not at the next station yet. The next station being, well, let's think about this. We're talking about the internet memes, the image macros that people are familiar with, and the format, for example, that Rick Fry is working with. But perhaps we could look to other ideas, other ways that these ideas can spread, the real meaning of memetics and what memes are. And when we frame it a little bit more broadly than what we're used to thinking about it in the internet age, well, when you think about it, political cartoons were, in a sense, the old school memes, right? It was the encapsulation of political ideas, sometimes very complicated ideas that relied on understanding of events and news and different people and their connections, etc., and condensed that down into a single image with a few words that would sometimes make you guffaw or laugh or at least think about something in a different way. That is a form of memetics, isn't it? And maybe the old school meme warfare was just political cartoons. If that is the case, then newsflash, that's not over. It's not like political cartoons have gone away, or the cartooning as that type of art form / information spreading device has gone away. It is still a thriving medium, as evidenced by our next guest, who you may or may not be familiar with. Maybe you don't know her by name. Her name is Anne Gibbons. You may be familiar with the title that she blogs / substacks under, Anne Can't Stand It. And I will throw a link into her Substack and also to her website, AnneCan'tStandIt.com, where you can find more about her work. But if you do take a look at her work and you find yourself thinking, well, that looks vaguely familiar, well, then you probably have seen it before, because she's done, for example, commissioned work for the World Council for Health, not the World Health Organization, the World Council for Health, that, for example, hosted me at the Better Way conference last year, etc. Well, she's done work for them, like the Who or You campaign and the Great Free Set campaign that they've been working on, and other things besides. So you might have seen her work floating around online by this point. If not, please do familiarize yourself with it. She has a very interesting, unique style, and I think is very much engaged in the meme war, in a sense. I don't know if she would think of it in those terms, but I think it falls broadly into this category. And so I had the chance recently to talk to Anne Gibbons about her work and how she got into it. I found out about her background, for example, starting with an inclination towards art and liking art and wanting to do art, but that's not a profession. So she majored in sociology and spent years doing work that she wasn't particularly interested in before trying to find outlets for her artistic creative expression, taking art as art classes as kind of a side hobby vehicle, and doing some greeting card work and getting involved with the Six Chicks comic book, etc. So she had some outlets for her inclination. But she found herself drawing to cartooning, but didn't really think she had much to say in particular until the scamdemic hit. And then she had a lot to say. And that is now why she is a prolific and regular cartoonist under the handle and can't stand it. And again, I'll let the work speak for itself, and I hope you'll go check it out. But I had the chance recently to talk to her about her work, and I started by asking her if there was any particular piece that she could think of from the many that she's done so far that she was particularly proud of, taking a very complicated idea and condensing it down into a single image.
There's, well, LAHU, the world, I've done several on the World Council, then One Health, and what the WHO, the treaty, the irregulations, what, that's really hard. That they've written it so complicated and ridiculously obtuse so that intentionally you can't figure it out. To put that into plain language, like I had a friend of mine said, you know, trying to figure out the WHO, it's like, just read this cartoon and you'll get the gist of it for the WHO. But recently I had a couple of things. Just recently I read this book, What the Nurses Saw by Ken McCarthy, about it's interviews with nurses, particularly in New York, and a respiratory therapist, what their experiences were right in the early days of the hospital thing. And it's absolutely just, I mean, I was riveted, even though I know a lot of this stuff. This was like, oh my God, this is the levels of fraud and intentionally murdering people. It's like, you can't even believe it. So I did something on that and shared it. And I usually get about 3,000, maybe 4,000 views. And this one got like almost 9,000 views in a week. And I sent it to Ken McCarthy. So here's to me, like the perfect, like to me, a great hit that he wrote. "Anne, our sales were starting to fall off a cliff. Then you gifted us with your marvelous cartoon. Yesterday was our very, very best sales day ever and by far measure. Thank you from the bottom of my heart." It's like, to me, that's like gold, you know.
What could be more gratifying than to hear that your work has had such an impact? Absolutely. Right. And yes, I mean, people may scoff or may roll their eyes, oh, it's just a cartoon. But no, it can have a real identifiable impact in the real world and actually change things for the better, which is, again, a message of empowerment, I think, for people out there.
Right.
Let's speak to the people in the audience right now, either people who aren't visually inclined themselves, don't have any particular ability, or people with that ability. How can they how can they help support this work? How can they start contributing their own work?
Well, I think, I mean, I'd love for people to follow my, you know, just subscribe to my work if they like it, if it speaks to them. But I tell you, I for me, I did this mostly for myself because I was felt so alone, distraught, helpless, hopeless, useless, you know. And actually, I remember you were one person who was like, what can you do? Think about what you can do to just wait. It's up to you. It's not what somebody else does. And it was like, well, I'm a cartoonist. I am going to do this. You don't need to be a visual artist. Everybody has something. And actually, to me, even if you have nothing, but if you by chance have money, contribute to important causes, you know, like just do something positive, something that feels like it just brings you up out of the doldrums that are so easy to fall into. I mean, like one of the things I just like to get, actually, I have another, some just from the comments I get from people are like, just so. To me, this is like just one other. This guy wrote, you know, "You are an inspiration both in style and content. You strike a very good balance of boiling down a lot of information into a visual package that requires a minimum connective load on the audience, yet nudges them to engage their own critical thinking skills." That's like just, again, that's exactly how I'd like to connect with somebody. But to me, it could be anything. And like, I think we need to be creative and connect with people and just believe we have so much more power than I think people realize. And I feel very strongly that we need to meet in person more than, I mean, obviously I'm doing something weekly, you know, we're on this right now, that's really valuable, but things are going to be happening locally, where the things are hitting right in our lives. And so what can we do with people? But I do think, I know from other experiences, political experiences, that like in the past, in a building we were involved in, we were living in a co-op building, and when I first got into it, it was like, oh, somebody else can run this place, you know, I don't care, I just want to live here. And my husband and I ended up getting involved, like with the board. He got on the board, but the board was this sleepy thing doing its own thing, ignoring people, corrupt, because nobody was paying attention and didn't realize they could, like, what is the reality, and don't accept it. I mean, I always feel like, who says who? Who? I mean, that's always been my kind of like my modus operandi. Well, who says that I can't do this? That's how I became a cartoonist ultimately. Like, who says I was the one saying I can't do it? And then I thought, well, I think I'll be the one to say I can do it, and I will. So I think I encourage people, for your own empowerment, is anything that makes you feel better in surviving this onslaught, because this is hideous and overwhelming and completely unacceptable. It's like, I'm not living in this world. I'm just.
Anne Gibbons, a.k.a. Anne Can't Stand It, and with a very interesting and seemingly simple but very profound bit of truth there, namely, who says? Who says you can't do this? Who says that's not going to work? Who says? Often it is you telling yourself, well, I'll never be an artist. Oh, I couldn't do that. Oh, it won't make any I shouldn't bother. It's generally, you are gatekeeping yourself. You are gatekeeping your own mind. And perhaps once you realize there's no one telling you that you can't do this, you shouldn't do this, it's not going to work, you can go out and do it. And that might be a little bit of inspiration for people out there. As you can tell, I am subtly encouraging people out there in the crowd who've been thinking about this or have thought about it, maybe dabble in the idea of spreading information in a format like this. You don't need to be the world's greatest visual artist in order to do it. You just have to have the right kind of creative mind for putting these things, and essentially, as I've been saying, encapsulating complicated ideas into a simple, identifiable, understandable image or a set of words. And if you have that knack, maybe you don't know you have that knack, so it might be worth trying. Anyway, maybe this is not for you, but at the very least, I'm sure we can all appreciate that memes are certainly making a difference. And as Rick says, and as Anne has attested to with her work, it is catching on. And there are people who will say, for example, if you don't understand all this WHO treaty nonsense that they're making intentionally difficult to understand, well, here's a cartoon. Read this, and let's start from that. And that might be the entry point for a lot of people into discovering reality. And if so, then welcome on in. The more the merrier. So, that being said, let's pay forward the gratitude for this edition of Solutions Watch by helping out the memers in the meme war. Either, of course, by the most obvious and straightforward and simplest way of helping artists like Rick Fry and like Anne Gibbons, by simply spreading their work, sharing their work. Make it, commit yourself to sharing a meme or a cartoon or something that you have found particularly interesting from this episode with a few of your friends. And that could be your way of paying forward the gratitude. Or you, of course, can support these types of people and the work that they're doing through actual monetary support in various ways as well. That could, for example, come in the form of AnneCan'tStandIt.com. She has items for sale with some of her cartoons on them. She also has items at the World Council for Health shop. shop. It's the World Council for Health shop, but they have, for example, t-shirts with some of her cartoons on them. So that might be one way you can support that work. Or Rick Fry recommends ForbiddenClothes.com. It is not his clothing line, but he, for example, was rocking the tinfoil hat there in our conversation. If you're watching the video version of this, and had the Stockholm Syndrome shirt and others besides up behind him. So that might be one way, again, a simple way that I've talked about before on the Solutions Watch, wearing your heart on your sleeve. That might be a simple way of helping to spread and share this information with others that you don't even know. You're just walking around and someone might see something one day and a penny might drop for them and you won't even know the effect of that. But it's one way to support people who are doing this and to look fashionable and to make people think. Probably the more important part of that. Anyway, there are lots of ways to apply what we have learned today, and I hope you will consider how it may or may not apply to you in your own situation. As always, Solutions Watch is what you make of it, and not every solution will apply to everyone out there, but I hope this has given you some food for thought. And on that note, I'm going to end it here for today, but I'm looking forward to talking to you again in the very near future.